Well, Jesus saves, and Jesus saves. I'm glad you are here this morning. We are going to spend some time in Exodus chapter 15, and there are two things happening in chapter 15. The one is a very, very long hymn, song, whatever they called it those days. I mean, it's a song, yes, there's a Bible, that Moses and Miriam, his sister, sang. Well, he wrote the song. It's a long one, and I want to quote a few verses of his song as just a reminder that Jesus saves and Jesus saves. Well, that is what the song is about. So in chapter 15 of Exodus, I almost said Moses 15, but it's Exodus 15. He says, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." Later on, Miriam, she's also singing a song, and she rephrased in her little song the same words. "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." In Afrikaans it says, "Het weggeslinger, ingeslinger into the sea." Ingeslinger into the sea. And then he says, "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." Then later on he ends the song with his words, "The Lord reigns forever and ever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." This is his name. This is his name. "And therefore I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And may his blessing and his presence and his grace just rest upon us this morning. Amen." Let's worship God with this hymn. We are going to sing three verses. I think, Jock, is it three? Of hymn 79. Let's stand and sing "Softly and Tender Jesus is Calling."
Thank you.
just a wonderful, wonderful invitation. O sinner, come home. O sinner, come home. Yes, indeed, we are going to spend some time in Exodus 15, a very familiar passage in the Bible, but hopefully it will just help us again this morning, understanding our faith and life and our journey with God. And chapter 15, in my Bible, the heading says, Waters from Marah and Elam. So, but before we read that, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you this morning for these words that we just sang, Jesus saves and Jesus saves, and softly and tender is your invitation to come home. O sinner, come home. Yes, Father, and therefore we are here because we know what salvation is. We know the effects of sin and corruption and negative thoughts and evil-minded people on our lives and in our lives. And therefore, we are so grateful for a moment that we can just rest next to the waters of peace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and your word that creates new life in our lives, and give us hope. And therefore, we come this morning to be encouraged by your Spirit and your Word in our journey, in our own wilderness, in our own desert of our lives. And we pray that you will come and just reveal yourself and your Word to us. And to help us in this life and beyond. Thank you for everyone present. And we pray that you will just be with us in this moment. In your name we pray. Amen. So the story goes like this. So it was this long, very long song of Moses. And this very short little song of Miriam. And then in verse 22 it says, Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For three days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, What? Are we to drink? Then Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. I think the Bible, Afrikaans Bible says it became sweet. Well, you can drink it then. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them to put them to the test. He said, If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Then they came to Elam, where they were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Well, interesting passage. Let's try and get the context of what happened here. Just after one of the greatest victories in the Bible, when God saved them out of Egypt, Israel stepped into a place of bitterness. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days after a second massive happening, when they just crossed the Red Sea, they found themselves in a place of bitterness. They just saw how God defeated the Egyptians, the whole army. They just sang this song about God and how horse and driver was hurled, thrown into the sea. Well, they saw it. They just saw it 3 days ago. They experienced this massive miracle where the waters of the sea just split into and they walked through the sea in dust. I mean, they just experienced that. I mean, they experienced something that no generation ever have seen before. The miracles that God did. And 3 days into the desert wilderness, they found no water. And then they found the water, but it was bitter. It was Marah. They called this place Marah. It's bitter water. They saw the water, but you could not drink it. It was bitter. So this is a painful picture of Israel 3 days into their new journey with God. Freedom. That is 3 days into their freedom. And it is a very bad place to be when you are thirsty, and then to find water, but it's not drinkable. I mean, how can it satisfy your thirst when it is so bitter? And so what they started to do was to moan, to groan, but this groan is not just like a complaint. So let's say you go to a shop and you're not happy with the service there, and then you complain about it. So that is not just a complaint. But this is more than a complaint against God. The word that they use here is something like a rebellion against God. They rebelled against Him. They are angry against God. It is an attitude of mind it's a spiritual rebellion against God. And you can understand the problem at that moment. They were tired. They were thirsty. They were in a desert. There were all sorts of generations present, old people, young people. They've got the little chickens and goats and animals and the little cat and everything and the budgie, everything went with them. And all of a sudden, they are here in a wilderness without water. So obviously, they will complain. Anyone will complain. But the attitude reveals something deeper. It's a real spiritual struggle. Because they just saw a bunch of miracles, but they struggled to trust. Just listen to it again. They experienced a lot of massive miracles. I mean, it started off that last night of the 10th plague, and the death of all the firstborn, and after that, everything that happened. How they were saved by the blood on the doors, through the sea, everything. They saw the miracles, but they struggle to trust God. So the deliverance from Egypt did not mean that there will not be any difficulties on their road and their journey ahead. And this is a lesson that so many Christians should learn in life, and many believers should understand, is that sometimes when there is a breakthrough in our lives, a spiritual breakthrough, don't expect that everything afterwards will be easy. That is not what God teaches us in the Bible. Because we think, because God brought us before a great deliverance,
We think the next season must be smooth and easy and really comfortable and clear and obvious, but it isn't. It isn't. Not necessarily. But God shows them this miracle and the victory to bring them close to Him. But what happens is they rebelled against Him. So when the relationship should be closer, I mean, they isolate themselves again from God. And they praise Him. They just sang this beautiful, beautiful song. And then they end up bitter and rebelling against God. And so the miracle was followed by Mara, bitterness. Bitterness. And Mara reveals something about their heart, their attitude before God. And the good news is that while it was happening there in the desert, I mean, they didn't even know their location, but more or less in the desert of Shur, that is where they were. But they were in a certain sense lost. And then the wonderful thing is that when they rebelled against God and when they moan and groan towards God, God is just there. He is just there. He is just present right there. He do not withdraw Himself because of their attitude. The negative attitude actually drew Him closer to them. And Moses cried to the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. And God says, well, this is something that I don't understand really. But God says, take this piece of wood and throw it in the water. And all of a sudden, the water was sweet. Well, it's a miracle again. It's just a miracle again. How practically is it to throw a piece of wood in water and it loses its bitterness? So miracle again. And then God says the following, after that moment that He threw the stick in the water or the piece of wood in the water, and God says, I am the Lord who heals you. So what God did was He healed the water. He healed the water, but then He says, I am going to heal you. This, because the problem is not your thirst. The problem is your spiritual thirst. So I will heal the water, but I will heal you. I will heal your heart. I will heal your attitude. And I am the Lord, your healer. That is one of the names of God. I will explain it later on. So at Mara, what happens is He taught the people that He can heal. He can heal the bitterness of the water, but He can heal your bitter attitude. And people do carry a lot of bitterness within them. So many people. Maybe a bitter disappointment about life. Maybe a bitter memory of someone you lost. Maybe a bitter moment when you had a real toxic relationship that you had. Or maybe a bitter prayer that seems unanswered for so long in your life. And maybe there's this a season of bitterness, of maybe medical issues in your life or emotional issues in your life, but you just feel bitter. Maybe you feel bitter about a work circumstances. Maybe you applied for a work and you just didn't get it. Whatever it might be, people carry a lot of bitterness in their lives. And then sometimes, we move on. We cope with it. We attend. We are alive. We serve. We smile. We show up. We still try to believe. But there's a bitterness, about certain things in our lives that we struggle with. It's a bitter pill to swallow. And this is the story of Mara. It's not just a location pin on a journey to a new life. It is sometimes something that we just carry with us and it's within us, and we need some refreshment, we need some healing, and that is what God says. I'm God, your healer. I'm God, the one that heals you. And Mara brings us to a point that we need to be honest before God. And Moses cried out, and there was a grumble, and it's just fine to do so. Well, it is just that God, I struggle with my bitterness in my life. I struggle to understand. I struggle to apply it in my spiritual life. I struggle. But I need restoration. I need restoration. I need a new life. I need new thoughts. I need something new in my life. Because I'm thirsty. Bitterness says, I am spiritually thirsty. I struggle. I've got things that I carry with me. And this was a problem here. They left Egypt, but they couldn't forget about it. They were longing back to the life there, even though it wasn't that easy always. So this is the story. They found themselves at a place 3 days into the journey, 3 days into the freedom, 3 days into a new life, and they struggle with bitterness, moaning and groaning. But this was not the final destination. This was just the point on the route to the new life. And what happens is that after Mara, just after it, just the story, just mention it very shortly. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 fountains, 70 palm trees. It's like paradise. But strange enough, they don't go and thank God about it. There was no gratefulness about it. It's just a mention that how quick things can change to the positive. But it's just a little sentence. And it just passes by like, okay, it's good. So what? But this is, yeah, this is where we are. It matters to understand that God wants to change this bitterness into our lives. And Mara might be a very painful place in our lives. But it's not our permanent address. We are going to move on. We cannot be slaves. They were slaves. Well, a week ago they were slaves. But now you must understand, I cannot be enslaved by bitterness as well. I must get free from that as well. So what God brings is, He brings this bitter water. And in this moment, when we realize that, we can bring Him our bitterness. We can bring Him our disappointment. We can bring Him our pain and our sorrow and the things that we struggle with. We can bring Him our wounds. We can bring Him our negative thoughts, maybe sometimes about Him as well. So when God does this, all these miracles, sometimes we just stand in awe in front of the miracles, but not in a relationship with God. So many people are just seeking all the miracles of Jesus and God, but they are not willing to live in a relationship with them. And this is what God seeks from these people. It's just to live in a relationship, just to trust Him every single day. So Mara is a place of bitterness, and Elim is a place of refreshment, and it stands in the contrast with one another in our journey as Christians through this world. And wonderful about this is that it is happening in the New Testament as well. And I'm not going to read all these verses, but in Romans 5, you will read about this, the story of pain and enjoyment in the same sort of sentence. And as Romans 5, in 2 Corinthians 1, we will read about the struggling of Paul in his own life, and the lady at the well there in John 4. Where God says, but your problem is not the thirst for water. It is for eternal water. You don't need water. You need Jesus. And Revelations, we will read that there will be no more hunger and no more thirst, because Jesus will be the living water. So this story runs right through the Bible. So we do have Mara moments in our lives. We do have moments of bitterness and trial and disappointment where our faith is being tested. But there is also moments where there are refreshment, Elim moments of oasis in our lives. He leads me to waters, still waters. The Afrikaans says, to waters waar rus is, bring me to rest. And what there's a wonderful, let's say, pattern of God's grace and God's names in Exodus. You know, a while ago, we've spent some time in the story of Genesis, with Hagar, and she was sent into the desert, and she said, but God's name is El Roy, is the God that sees Ishmael, God hears. And as we read through the Bible, it is not just a revelation of the story of Israel, it is a revelation of God and God's names. But here you will see it in Exodus as well. In Exodus, when we read this in in verse 26, he says, I am the Lord who heals you. So that is not just a statement that says, I am the Lord who heals you. It says a name. It says Yahweh Rapha, God the healer. This is not just a fact. This is a revelation of the character of God. He is, his name reveals that he is a God that refreshes you, that heals you, that heals your bitterness, your pain, the water. That is what he does. And this is what happened at Mara. I heal you because you are in such a state of bitterness. And the question is, how does God going to heal 600,000 people at once? Not just the water, but how is it going to create something new and restoration in a society of thousands, almost, well, they estimate there was around 1 million people traveling. It is unthinkable. But how is God going to do it? It's very straightforward what he says. He says, to all these people, to society to get healed, he says, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commandments and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on any of the diseases of the Egyptians. But I am Yahweh Rapha. I will heal you. That's his name. This is so. How will the restoration and the new health in terms of spirituality is going to take place? Listen to God. Apply his commandments. Pay attention to what God says. And that will heal society. That will heal the church and the people around us. So when we listen to the story of God, so he heals physically. He heals that negative emotion of bitterness. He heals a community. A whole team of people. But that was also a foreshadowing of Jesus, who is the healer. In Matthew 8, you will read about Jesus and who said, come to me, all of you. And how he healed the people. First Peter 2, he says, well, he took his wound, our wounds upon him. Revelation 22 will say something about it as well. So it is about healing of society and us. So what we will read in Exodus 15:26 is the explicit revelation of God as the healer, Yahweh Rapha. And this is who we meet here in the story of the water, is we meet the character of God who wants to make things different. And you can see all these names of God in Exodus right through the Bible. For example, I will just go quickly through it. The Lord who heals you is the first one. He heals the sick. Matthew 8, 1 Peter 2, It's all about the cleansing and the healing of his people. There's another one, if you turn around and you read the story where God saved them from the Amalekites, that said, God is Yahweh Nisi. Well, it was in the song that Moses sang as well in verse 3. He says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. His name is warrior. It's Yahweh Nisi. He's the banner. He's the one, the big general that fights the fight. And so they were not an army. They were just people traveling through a desert. And God sent them to an army, and they won. And God says, I am the winner. I am the one. My name is the warrior. My name is the God who wins. There's another one, and people like all these names of... and you can see the Nisi is what Jesus did. He is the one that saves us from sin, from the evil. He's a warrior that died on the cross for us to defeat the evil, the devil. The banner is, I'm alive. I'm alive. It is done. I've saved the people. And I know people are very fond of these names of God in the Old Testament, and they've got the Yahweh Nisi and Yahweh Rapha and Yahweh, Roy and so on. But some of them they don't like, and you will not find it on a house in Hentis Bay. It's Yahweh Mekadishkem. Mekadishkem says, here's the Lord who sanctifies you. He sanctifies you. And that is what Jesus did. That is right through the Bible. You are a different nation. Your thoughts are different. Your ways are different. Your lives are different. I sanctify you. This is why Yahweh Mekadishkem. Yahweh Shaphat in Exodus 12, he says, God judges. He said, judge, and he will judge evil and right. He is God, Yahweh Kabot, that says he's the Lord of glory. So now you can go through the Bible and say, well, who is God? What is the character of God? And this is a witness of the church. That's a witness of the people of God. It's not just Jesus saved, Jesus says, who is Jesus? Well, he is revealed right through the Bible, and he is the one that heals Rapha. He is the one, Nisi, that gives the victory over sin. He is the one that sanctifies us with that massive Hebrew word. He is the one of judgment. He is the one of glory. Right through Exodus, God reveals himself as the one that saves us and heals us. And this is it, healing, victory, sanctification, judgment, glory. Right through Exodus, God will be revealed as this God. And every name of the Old Testament comes together in one name, Jesus Christ. Every single name reveals what Jesus did at the end for us. Took away our bitter lives. I think to conclude, just to say something about young people, or maybe not just young people and kids around us. Sometimes in our lives, I mean, when you look at the future, I mean, it is just unclear. We don't have a clear vision of what is lying ahead in our lives. And you need a career and your own identity and your friendships and relationships. So what can we do? What can we learn from this? Is to trust God with every single step you take. Because we don't know. It was the same with Abram. It's the same with Abram. God didn't reveal himself. There wasn't like a Sunday school sort of course or a spiritual diploma that Abram and Moses did before God sent them. God just sent them. They don't know the direction, nothing. But the moment I trust him is when I trust him. In the trust, he reveals himself. He reveals who he is, what he does in our lives. But trust him at first. It is not trust because you have knowledge. It is trust because you believe him. So we don't have a picture, the whole picture of our lives. But it's not like that God gives us a 10-year syllabus of work that we must do. He says, just trust me. Just give the first step and I will reveal myself in that. And there are crises in this world. We struggle in this world. We lose our jobs. We lose people near, close to us. Sometimes we don't get into a team. Sometimes we are not being chosen for leadership. And sometimes we are just, our parents get divorced or whatever it might be. We struggle and we find ourselves in a wilderness, in a desert. And sometimes when you think, well, there's an answer, the answer is full of bitterness. That is life. But the challenge is to know that God is there. And the challenge is to reveal your own pain and your own uncertainties and your own unpredictability about life and yourself to God. And say, God, I know. I'm not sure what to do, but I trust you. So this is the lesson, I think. And as parents and older people, I think what we should know is understand that we cannot present to our children a second-hand sort of faith. There aren't some sort of short answers about it. Life is life. Life is going to be difficult. We are going to have pain and we are going to have some trouble on our way. But God is here. He sees us. He listens to us. He's the healer. And be real about our faith, that we struggle. We do struggle. Old people, young people, every sort of person just struggle. And what we do is, we can trade our control, because we don't have any control about life, but we can trade it control with trust. Just trust God. Just trust God with my life and everything we do. As families, trust Him. And this is the story that I want to bring this morning. As, yes, indeed, the Lord is my strength and my defense, and He has become my salvation, as Moses sang in his little song. And we can sing it as well. But just as we end off our song, there might be moments of bitterness and pain and sorrow and distress. But bring it to God. He is the healer. And if you are bitter about things in life, bring it to Him. If there are things that you want to say, bring it to Him. That is what we're going to sing this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. Bring it in prayer also to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this message. We thank you for this moment in the history, many, many, many years ago, where we can see ourselves sometimes in a wilderness full of bitterness, and pain, and uncertainty, and distrust. And therefore, we pray that you will help us, Father, to trust you every single moment of our lives, and thank you for being the healer. Thank you for being the one that sanctifies us. Thank you for being the one that brings us the glory, and the one that is just. Therefore, we pray that you will just reveal yourself on our journey to us, so that will become our witness, who you are. We don't want to witness about our own pain, but about the glory and the miracles of God our Father and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for our congregation. We pray for our ministries, our work. We pray for all those who are sick and still suffering through maybe loss or pain or things that really happened in their lives. We pray for our youngsters, our elderly people. We pray for those who are struggling financially and in so many ways, Father. Be the healer that you promised to be. We pray for this world that are really in so much conflict and pain. And we think of Venezuela and all the wars and natural disasters. Father, we pray. Bring peace, and may we as your church be witnesses in a disrupted world, and just focus on who you really are. Thank you for a moment. We pray it in your name. Amen. Let's be grateful to God and offer our offerings. We are going to have a steak evening, whatever. On the 24th of July, I don't know what we're going to eat with that steak, But that we will determine later on. But save the date, please. Please. Then on the 14th of July, it's on a Tuesday evening, if I'm correct, the Creation Ministries will visit us. And just to say quickly what their mission is, to support the effective proclamation of the gospel by providing credible answers that affirm the reliability of the Bible, in particular its Genesis history. So what they go back is, I think in these days there are so many people saying, yeah, you know, it's just a story and you cannot rely on the witnesses in the Bible itself. So Peter Leroux, I think is his surname, they will come. It's a worldwide ministry. And just to come and put it in perspective. And so I invite you, please come and enjoy the evening. The rest of all the activities of the week will be going forth as normal. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this offering. Thank you for the heart and the attitude and the mindset in which it is offered. And therefore we pray also for what we are going to do with it. We pray that this money will help us to sustain our ministries, our congregation, the work we do, and to proclaim your name as the Father, as we have heard it this morning. You are the healer, and we pray that this money will bring a new life to so many people around us. Thank you for this offering. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Then we are going to end with it is conflicting, the information there, but it is two verses of Hymn 101, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Well, it's interesting. We've got all these 101 things, leadership 101, parenting 101, and whatever, and this is all 101, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's sing two verses. On this journey, there's one promise, there's one comfort that we receive, and it sounds like this: the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.